everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Hello, Tom, on the other side of the glass. Tom engineering today's show, making sure all the buttons are in the right direction. It is Friday, January 9th, 2015. We are completing our first full work week of the new year and our first week of the start of our fifth year here on the Buckmaster Show. So that means we've got four full years and now into year five plus 1 week. So thanks to all of our Buckmaster Show listeners who've made all of our work possible. We are live each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI The Voice, and we also make the show very easy for you to hear. We stream and podcast the program for anywhere in the world listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Also, our media partners are TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com. Thank you to all of our media friends. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, State Senator Steve Farley is with us in studio. Mr. Farley is a Democrat representing District 9, which encompasses a large part of Central Tucson. Joining me to question Steve Farley, Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star and host of the Newsmaker series on the Star's website, which is very easy to remember, Tucson.com. That's pretty cool.
It is.
If you would like to join us in the conversation, the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. If there's something that you hear Steve Farley say that you don't agree with, Steve is a good sport, and he's always willing to entertain opposing points of view. Hi, Steve.
But if you like what I say, you can call in.
Yeah, you can call in either way. Call in either way, whether you like what you're hearing or not like what you're hearing. And again, a big shout out to all of the people who follow us on Facebook as we push now toward 3,900 friends of the program. So we're happy about that. Sarah, good to see you.
Nice to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And Steve Farley, good to see you, Steve.
Always great to be here.
Okay. We've got the State of the State on Monday. We had the new governor, Mr. Ducey. Governor Ducey gave his inaugural address. What are we looking at realistically when it comes to red ink for the budget for the state of Arizona?
It's devastating, and it could get much worse. Right now, if all things remain the same, we're looking at a $500 million deficit this fiscal year ending in June.
And $500 million.
$500 million, and okay. then another billion deficit for the next fiscal year ending in June of 16.
That's almost like a best case scenario.
That's the best case scenario, because if the Republicans in the legislature's lawsuit against the Medicaid expansion is successful, then we will be in then we'll be in the red by another $1.4 billion next year, so that could be $2.4 billion.
Okay.
And if, because the Republicans who have been challenging the school's inflationary funding requests, that if they, because they didn't take the settlement that was offered to them by the school boards and the AEA, the plaintiffs, the judge may well rule that we are also on the hook for about $1.6 billion in back pay to our schools
for
not funding them.
For a grand total of?
Of approximately $4 billion deficit in the next year or potentially the year after, depending on the timing.
That's devastating.
And they can't blame that on Janet Napolitano anymore. And the reason we are in this deficit was because of their orgy of corporate tax giveaways that we have seen over the last few years. It's clear that out of all that money that they said was going to create jobs, was going to spur an economic flowering in this state that would produce more revenues than it cost that we were giving away because of all this great economic activity, none of that has come true. None of that. In fact, it's gone the other direction. Our wages are stagnant or declining. Our unemployment is still higher than the rest of the country. It's not happening, and yet they're not talking about delaying the tax cuts that haven't gotten to effect yet, something that would only require a simple majority in the legislature to
happen. Could that
happen? I think it could. Jan Brewer, on her way out, said it's reasonable to suspend these tax cuts that she signed into law. because they're looking at, in fact, I just got the figures from JLBC that based on a tax base of fiscal year 2014, by 2018, those cuts will represent a reduction of 44% in corporate income tax collections alone.
Wow.
By 2018.
18.
So,
and none of that is doing anything for our economy. All I'm asking for is accountability. If we're going to give away taxpayers' money to out-of-state corporations, we better get something in return, and it looks like we haven't.
And the obvious question, Sarah, I don't want to infringe on your time, but the obvious follow-up question.
Are you taking my obvious follow-up question?
Which you know is, well, I'm going to let you ask it. What are we going to do about it, right?
Exactly. Where's the money going to come from?
The money is going to come from, A, delaying these tax cuts, because that's about $500 million over the next 3 years. B, finally dealing with these corporate sales tax loopholes, of which are over $12 billion in the tax code.
But where do you think, I mean, that sounds like your plan, where you would find the money.
Yeah.
But where do you think the Republican-dominated legislature is going to find the money?
Well, we'll find out when the governor issues his budget a week from today. He's going to speak on Monday. He'll say a lot of fluffy words about how great the economy is going to be under his realm and how many jobs he's going to create. But the real action is going to be a week from today, mm-hmm. when he unveils his budget with the plain numbers on paper to see how devastating it's going to be. Because I believe ultimately, from what I hear, they're going after the universities. Big time. They're going to zero out our universities.
Really?
Our state universities that are
would
in our
get
constitution
no funding
that we should be providing as nearly free as possible to the public would get zero funding from the states, about $500 million a year.
And you're hearing that from reliable sources?
I'm hearing that from people like John Kavanaugh, who was the former appropriations chair in the House and isn't over here. But additional people in the Senate have been telling me, who are in high Republican positions, that that's where they're looking at. And they may not do it zeroed out all the way, but that's one of the things under consideration.
What would that do to the university system?
I'm hoping is the business community stands up and screams and says, look, we've been supporting you guys for so long because we thought you were good for business because you kept cutting our taxes. But tax cuts don't make any difference if you don't have an education system to provide the entrepreneurs of the future or to provide the education for the employees you need to hire. We need university-level degrees in this state in order to thrive and survive in this global economy, and to destroy our universities. It's flabbergasting that we would be this short-sighted.
So university funding has been going down over the past decades,
and
it's now about, what, 10%?
It's about 10% of their overall budget.
So has anyone alerted the universities? Is this a discussion?
Tim Bee, who is the current
former
Senate
now.
President, yeah. is Tim Bee, and he's now the legislative liaison for the University of Arizona. He is a hive of activity at this point to try to fend this off, because there are a few moderate Republicans who will stand up for the universities. I think the Arizona Chamber of Commerce has to stand up and be very clear. You can't go after the universities. This is our original economic development tool and probably the most effective one we have. To get rid of our state support for our university system is a horrible sign to anyone wanting to bring their knowledge-based business here to Arizona.
Another thing that has an area of funding that was big in the recent legislative session is CPS, or its iteration now, is funding to the new Department of Child Safety on the table. Have you heard anything about that?
I have heard some comments from Republican leadership that has not been very optimistic about their chances of getting more funding or even getting the current level of funding. They've been talking down, saying that they've been hiring too many people and there's still kids in trouble. Well, the kids are in trouble not because the DCS hasn't been doing their good job to take care of the kids in the system. The kids are in trouble because there's more kids in trouble every day because the safety net has been cut apart systematically over the last 5 years. And the people who fall through the safety net first are our kids. So we've got to invest money in things like child care subsidies so that we can fully fund the wait list. 6,000 kids are still on the wait list for that. And enabling those parents to go to work and earn a living and make sure their kids are safe while they're working. That's a real common sense thing that will keep kids out of the system and keep the families healthy in the first place, which is something that we ought to see as a top priority in the state.
Are you hearing anything that's off the table from the Republican side?
The only things that are off the table from the Republican side are the things the courts have ordered them to do, and even they're fighting those, and the voter mandates, which they have disobeyed in the past but are being forced to obey by court orders.
All right. It's 12:14 on the Buckmaster Show. Steve Farley is here. Steve giving us a little bit of an insight into what we can expect in a very tough budget year. Even talk of zero funding the university system. Right now, this university system gets 10% of state funds. Meanwhile, we have a Peoria, Arizona lawmaker talking about, Steve, wanting to change daylight savings time. That doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like it's a big priority when you're facing up to what you're talking about, multi-billion dollar budget deficit.
We're going to get a series of sideshows this year, as we always do, and there's going to be members trying to make their reputations and get a little media about something or another, but I think we made it clear that Arizonans just don't take kindly to daylight savings time.
No.
I don't think there's any reason
sunsetting at 9:30 at night in July. I don't think so. Well, let's take a break right here. Steve Farley with us, 790-2040. Anything you have heard during the first break that you would like to comment on, Steve would be happy to take your question or comment. Sarah Garrett Gasson also is here. It's the Buckmaster Show. It is our Friday Focus interview. Steve Farley will stick around. We'll be right back.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
This is Bill Buckmaster, coming up Monday on The Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off, featuring commentators Bob Westerman and Paul Eckerstrom. Plus, we'll talk with the newest member of the Pima Community College Governing Board, Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and always on buckmastershow.com for anywhere in the world, live streaming podcasts and show archive. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
Oh, as good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847. To the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today features Steve Farley. Steve, a Democrat representing District Number 9, the Arizona Legislative District Number 9, which covers pretty much central Tucson. Sarah Garrett Gaston is here from the Arizona Daily Star. If you're just joining us in our first segment, Senator Farley was talking about a potential budget deficit reaching into hundreds of billions. That's with a B, of dollars. And when Sarah and I asked...
I think that was millions.
A billion?
Well, it was 4 billion.
Yeah.
Hundreds of millions to 4 billion.
Oh, excuse me.
Hundreds of billions would be...
yes, that would actually be 4 billion, up to 4 billion.
But we could be heading to the hundreds of billions.
Yes, and when Steve was asked about what we're going to do about it, he said the universities may be zeroed out with they're currently getting 10% of their funding. Here's Sarah.
With the new session, David Gowan, representative from Southern Arizona, has a leadership position. Do you think that that will make Southern Arizona any more of a priority among the legislature, or do you think the focus will continue to be so Maricopa County focused?
I wish that was the case, but he has been standing up with the Maricopa County leadership for pretty much the entire time he's been there, and I really see no indication he'll do anything otherwise. From what I understand from him and from President Biggs is that President Biggs will be running the show in the legislature now, and Gowan will be basically following his lead. So I'd like him to stand up to protect the U of A from some of these devastating cuts, but I'm worried that that's not going to happen.
Is there anything, any good news that we can look forward to in the legislative session, or is this just all doom and gloom?
Well, one thing I'm actually excited about is I have a pretty close relationship with an unexpected ally in the Senate, David Farnsworth, a very conservative Mormon from East Mesa. But he's recently been appointed the chairman of the Financial Institutions Committee. And he and I get along really, really well, and we've been looking for things that we can work together on, and we are pushing very hard for a state bank this year, to really push on public banking, to revitalize community banks in Arizona, and open up more capital to smaller businesses and entrepreneurs, as well as student loans and homeowners struggling with their mortgages. And he's very committed to this as well. So I think we're going to have a very interesting committee this year where we could do something significant to help people's everyday lives and increase access to capital in this state.
Politico had, you were quoted extensively in an article that Politico did about transportation around the country. Some of the critics have said that the efforts to resurrect a classic type of transit have been derailed, but in the article, a couple of the success stories, one of the success stories, is right here in Tucson.
It absolutely is, and it's an exciting thing we ought to all be proud of, is that we've really done it right. Even in terms of accidents, the streetcar in D.C. on testing has had 8 accidents since October already during testing. We've had our people trained really well, and the system has been designed really well, so we've had very minimal, real problems with vehicles and the streetcar in conflict. Plus, the $1.5 billion in development that's happened within 3 blocks of a 4-mile route is a huge example of what happens when you reinvest in an urban center with an American-made streetcar, by the way, and trust your community to be able to respond. It's tremendous that we could put in an $89 million local investment and get that sort of $1.5 billion return after decades of vain attempts to revitalize our downtown. We finally put money in infrastructure that really worked. And I think that's key to really building and rebuilding and re-energizing our community, but also our community's soul. People really feel like that we have more of a spring in our step now, that we're a real city. And we've connected our Hispanic West Side with our Anglo East Side for the first time since I-10 divided us. So there's a real connection of ourselves with ourselves that the streetcar represents, in addition to a huge economic boost.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Matthew would like to weigh in on the streetcar question. Go ahead, Matthew.
Well, since you're talking about the streetcar, Steve, I wanted to hear your thoughts that, as you know, the city council just voted to discontinue the loop for downtown that the bus service provided. SunTran had that special service. Because they think it's overlaps with what the streetcar does right now. But there were concerns from a lot of the public that it doesn't solve the whole problem because of this, where it goes to the senior center and what's going to happen with the seniors serving the seniors, special events. And I was just wondering, do you keep track of any of that? Did you hear about that? Or
yeah, I did.
Anybody contact you? And what are your thoughts about any of that?
Well, I thought it was good that instead of just simply doing that as a way of saving money, they actually extended the service of another SunTran bus route to take over the area that the streetcar doesn't currently cover. So that should still be covered based on what they've done. And I think in any transit system, you want to be able to respond to the realities on the ground, who's riding it when. And I'm encouraged there's starting to be more thinking at the city to be more responsive to riders and change your system around when things aren't working, because that's really where we have to go. The way society is moving, we're looking at transportation rather than you pick your mode and you stick with it, to being able to use whichever mode is going to work for you best at the time.
Can I have a follow-up to that real quick?
Sure.
Real quickly, what are your thoughts about the expansion idea of having a transit system for the entire, moving it away from the city and creating an expanded transportation authority situation with the entire community, including Moran? Any thoughts about that as a future?
Well, those are certainly worthwhile things to explore, and I've talked with some people at the RTA about there being an RPTA, Regional Public Transportation Authority, and I think there are some really good benefits for the administration of that. You'd have to make sure the governance gave a strong weighting to the people in the city of Tucson who are the bulk of the transit system right now, but we do want to expand it to make those things happen. And I did want to mention that I've heard also to make it easier to ride the streetcar and the entire SunTran system, I heard that the city will be rolling out a new app that will allow you to buy your fare on your app and use that as your proof of ridership, much as they're doing in Portland. So we're starting to get much more plugged in to how we can make that happen, because a lot more people who are riding the bus and the streetcar are demanding more, and the city is responding. So I'm happy about that.
Okay, here's Sarah Garrett Gasson.
Is there anything that you have on your plate heading back to the legislature that is something new for this session?
Well, there's the state bank thing I talked about before.
There's
always a lot of things that come up. I have a lot of things that haven't been enacted in the past that I'm continuing to push forward. We're going to try to continue to push on the distracted driving issues. And
how many sessions have you pushed on that one?
This will be the ninth.
The ninth session.
I was the first person in the country to suggest banning driving while texting in legislative form.
Uh-huh.
And now we're one of only four states that doesn't have a ban on driving while texting.
I also want to ask, do you think with Governor Ducey that we're going to see any sort of change in the social issues, kind of distractions, legislation that always come up, or is this something, do you think he's going to be able to keep a firmer hand than Governor Brewer was, or do you expect the same sort of sideshows?
Well, he has a broad and extreme constituency to appeal to as well, so he's not going to want to offend too many of them if he wants to get reelected. So I think we will see stuff like that. But I think we still do have just enough moderate Republicans left in the Senate to be able to kill things like a 1062. Because the people who are left in the Senate who voted for it last time on the Republican side were also the ones who regretted their vote just a few days later. And I don't think they're going to be fooled again into voting for it. So I'm really, really hoping we can focus on what I think the people of Arizona want, which is balance the budget, make sure our schools are working, fix our transportation system, just real basics like that. And I don't think that going into some of this sort of determining who should or shouldn't, I just heard yesterday that there's a legislator in the House that wants to ban people from using food stamps for fast food because that isn't healthy enough and they should buy a box of Cheerios and milk instead, she was saying.
Local control and all of that.
And it's respecting the individual and individual freedom and things like that.
It's amazing.
So we'll have that stuff.
Just about out of time, but I want to put you on the spot here with some political questions. Now that we have Martha McSally as our CD2 congressional representative, who are you here? Since it seems like folks run nonstop now for Congress, who are you hearing on the Democratic side? Perhaps for Congress, who are our emerging Democratic leaders?
Well, we've got plenty of them, but I haven't really been taking part in those conversations yet because I think it's hard to make a strong case for putting someone out of office if she hasn't done anything yet.
Okay.
I really think that that's – there will be a lot of people watching carefully to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
We have a precedent of having a moderate Republican in that seat, Jim Colby, who did a pretty good job by – many people's estimation, and if she can follow in his footsteps, then you know maybe she'll deserve to be reelected. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. And
I've never been a strong partisan myself. I think we need good leadership, and if good leadership comes from her, then there would be no real argument for why someone should try to unseat her.
Okay.
I might get people in my own party offended by that.
But
I'm representing my constituents in that case.
And for statewide,
we want good governance, and it has nothing to do with what the letter is after your name.
Okay, we're out of time, but I was going to say statewide for perhaps governor. I mean, any names out there?
Well, that's 4 years from now. Let's see what happens.
All right. Steve Farley, thanks, and good luck with the new legislative session. Thanks a lot for being with us.
All right, thank you.
All right, Steve Farley with us on the Buckmaster Show. Sarah will stick around, and Jim Nintzel is going to be waiting in the wings, coming on the program as we do our Friday roundtable right after this.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. See the world under glass at Biosphere 2. Step inside this living laboratory to explore how today's biggest environmental questions are being answered and enjoy the view. Experience the new Ocean Gallery featuring the Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit. Bigger questions, better answers. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Open daily. Visit biosphere2.org for details. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our Friday roundtable. Sarah Garrett Gasson sticks around from our interview with Steve Farley, and joining us is Jim Nintzel. Mr. Nintzel, of course, is the senior staff writer at the Tucson Weekly, and he is now the host of a weekly television show, and that show is Zona Politics, which can be seen on Channel 9 at 9:30 on Sunday morning, correct?
That's absolutely right, Bill.
And the show is, well, after I left Arizona Illustrated, you did a very good job with the Friday evening Arizona Illustrated political show. I mean, it was... That show had been kind of a fixture.
You left big shoes to fill, Bill, and I don't think I really filled them, I think.
I think you did really good job, and then Channel 6 went in yet a different direction, and you've basically taken kind of what we did when I was there and when you were there over now to commercial TV.
Yeah, over to Channel 9. We've got the program on Sunday mornings, 9:30 a.m., as you said. And this week we do have Steve Farley, who was just your guest, and State Representative Bruce Wheeler looking ahead at the legislative session for about a half an hour. So if folks want a little bit of a preview of what they might expect, they can certainly tune in there. And next week we're going to have Bill Beard, the new chairman of the Pima County Republican Party, on alongside Cheryl Cage, who's the likely new chairwoman of the Pima County Democratic Party. So some fresh faces next week. And, you know, we got some big plans for 2015, getting the website up and running here. And we're hard at work on building a set for the program. So a lot of excitement as we go forward this year.
Sarah, what did you think about Steve Farley saying that we could be into that multi-billion dollar area with this budget?
Well, I think it's something that everyone should pay attention to. I know it's easy to think, oh, you know, worst case scenario, we shouldn't plan for that. But I think it, you know, and say that it's kind of an alarmist point of view. I hope it doesn't get to that, of course. But I also think that you shouldn't base any sort of budgeting on, you know, best case scenario expectations. I think it's better to be conservative when you're going in terms of how predicting a budget shortfall, because then, you know, you may have money left over, although in Arizona that, you know, doesn't happen. So I think, though, that the universities need to have a heads up when he talks about that there is something on the table, talking about even just the idea of zeroing out their budgets, because even if it doesn't get to that point, the fact that that could even be mentioned or considered is serious business.
And Jim, you write in your weekly column, The Skinny, that the state, I think the crux of your, what you call it, the budget hole, it certainly is a mess. And the obvious question is, where do we get the money to take care of this red ink if you have certain areas of the state budget, up to two-thirds of the budget, that really are off limits?
Right, and certainly the legislature has ignored certain requirements for funding, as we saw with the school finance case, or when they kicked a lot of people off the access rolls, even though voters had mandated that people below the 100% of the poverty level be kept on. And the court said, yeah, that's the law, but we can't force the legislature to follow the law. But I don't know where you get that money, especially since in the last round, when Governor Brewer took over, you had very deep cuts to many state agencies, particularly the ones that like the Department of Water Resources that and the Department of Environmental Quality and
our
many,
Parks Department,
the parks, you know, what
devastating
the arts, the programs for the arts, all these things were pretty much wiped out in a lot of ways, and they ate a lot of the seed corner, the reserve funds got eaten up, so we don't have a lot of room to continue to cut. I mean, Doug Ducey said no new taxes. You know, on the campaign trail, he said he was going to eliminate the state income tax, which is 40-45% of the state's income. You know, we've got it just seems to me as though your financial options are very limited. So it'll be fascinating to see a week from now when Doug Ducey releases his budget exactly what he has in mind.
And in many ways, Sarah, the Medicaid expansion, if you roll it back, you're really going to be hurting because in many ways that did help the budget picture immensely the last time around.
Oh, absolutely, because there was federal money that came along with that, not to mention the kind of trickle-down effect of if you kick people off health care rolls and insurance, then there's costs that come along with that that end up back at the state anyway with and in the hospitals with uninsured people needing medical care. So it's a tremendously difficult, giant budget canyon either way.
So, Jim, what any predictions? Where do you think the governor's where the governor will go on this? I mean,
do you think we'll have
some surprises in the state of the state? I believe wasn't it a year ago that the governor gave the surprise about the Medicaid expansion?
Two years ago.
2 years.
But it does, yes, indeed.
It runs together after many years.
It does, and keeping track of it all, you know, the numbers are ever-changing. And, you know, I guess the idea of a surprise is we don't know that it's coming. So I don't know what Doug Ducey's going to propose from his inaugural speech. It appears as though he's saying that new taxes are completely off the table. So I really don't know how they're going to bridge this gap other than cutting into government. And we saw what happened when they cut last time. You know, you had thousands of cases of child abuse that went uninvestigated because they cut back on the number of caseworkers that were out there. And that is an extraordinarily difficult job that requires you're entering into just terrible, terrible situations of dysfunctional families.
And they're young people many times, first job, that are the caseworkers.
Absolutely, yeah. And they've got to make these incredible decisions about whether or not a child needs to be taken away from its family, which is, you know, probably one of the most powerful things a government can do. And you're certainly reluctant to do that, but, you know, there are very bad parents out there that you hear about. And you know, they make a mistake and a kid ends up dead. So it's really in many ways a no-win situation for those folks, and they're not treated well by their employers.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Perhaps Roger has some ideas about what we should do about these cuts. Go ahead, Roger. You're with Jim Nintzel, Sarah Garrett-Gasson, and me, Bill.
Well, the first thing we ought to do is be clear with people and not distort the facts.
Okay.
We collect more taxes now than we ever did per capita. And it's not a matter of tax cuts. We're not increasing taxes on the people. Now, we got plenty of money coming in. Why don't you people talk about cutting the fat, the pork, the waste of money? It's like Tucson School District complains that they don't get enough money. The kids aren't going to get educated. But they totally delete that only 47 cents out of the dollar goes to the classroom. Now, with all this other stuff, there's plenty of places to cut fat and pork that's being used for all the bureaucrats to fill their pockets with.
Okay, do you have any ideas?
Instead of making kids victims and trying to play on the sympathy of people to get more taxes paid in, we should be focusing on the truth that we need to cut the pork.
All right, Roger. It's just the question is, where is the pork?
I think that is the question. And you know, class sizes in TUSD have gotten larger,
yes,
not smaller.
And I can say that, you know, paying a case aide at CPS $25,000 a year, which is, you know, really pretty low for an incredibly difficult job, is not pork. So am I going to say that there's nowhere to cut in government? Absolutely not. But I think people that do jobs like teachers and CPS workers who are interacting with families in distress and people who are doing the work of the state are in an absolute different category than the nameless, faceless bureaucrats that people like to talk about, because what does that even mean? We talk about, you know, the government bureaucrats, but without really knowing what that means, knowing who those people are, what they do every day, and I don't think that adds to the discussion.
Yeah, some people are, no matter what you do, they're going to say the government is fat. And
that's exactly what Doug Ducey said. He grew a company and now he wants to shrink the government. And, you know, the government has shrunk considerably from where it was just a few years ago because of the budget deficits that we experienced when Governor Brewer inherited the governorship.
Maybe Doug Martin, the owner of this radio station, has a few ideas. Doug is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Doug, go ahead.
Well, I tuned into your wonderful 50-year show.
Thank you,
Bill, a little earlier, and I heard Sarah say something that was like music to my ears. She talked about being conservative on budgets, and then she started talking about trickle-down economics. So that was pretty exciting. But I did actually have a question.
Go ahead.
Jim had mentioned about the CPS issue, and you know whether that was really directly related to the budget being cut. Or was it related to the leadership and the system itself being a complete mess? Because I kind of look at things like that. It's like if we're in a boat and the boat is sinking, do we keep bailing out water or do we find out what the real problem was and fix the problem?
Well, I think part of the problem is that there were so many cases coming in when child care subsidies were cut and children were left at home, when there was this huge spike of cases.
Neglect cases.
Not abuse cases, neglect cases coming in, that there weren't enough people to investigate all of them. And so they were categorized and, 6,000?
I don't even remember the number off the top of my head.
There was 6,000, but how do we know that was a result of just them not having enough people, or was it a result of complete mismanagement and disorganization?
Well,
you know,
because
you can have plenty of people, but if they don't know what the heck they're doing, you're going to have problems.
Because they were triaged at the point where they came in, and they were set aside as, we're not going to look at this because we don't think it's one that we're going to look at right now. Maybe we'll get to it later. And if you have enough, I mean, I know from people that I know working in CPS that they're understaffed. It's not a negotiable item. I don't think it's something that you can say that the director of CPS was just had enough people, and it was just such a badly managed organization that if he had just simply deployed his assets better, everything would have been better. Could that be part of it? Absolutely. But I don't think that it's something that you could say, because even the people at CPS said we just simply didn't have enough caseworkers to take all of these.
And I think it's important to remember the cuts for these subsidized daycare, that was a program put forward by the Republican Congress in the 1990s by Newt Gingrich's Congress. And the idea was we were going to provide a safe place for people to keep their kids so that they could go out, get a job, get off welfare. You can't do that if you're a single mom and you have nowhere to have your child in childcare. And childcare is an extraordinarily expensive proposition. So it's mm-hmm. in, it, and there was a lot of federal dollars that were available as long as the state was able to pony up and give matching funds, and the state decided that was something they didn't want to do anymore. And you were fortunate enough to have a program called First Things First that was able to provide some of those matching funds and draw down those federal funds.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up right there. Doug, thank you for your input on the program. And of course, Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star, we will look for your editorial input and your columns every Thursday in the Star. Jim Nintzel will look for your work in the Tucson Weekly. And this Sunday morning at 9:30 on Channel 9 for the Zona Politics, hosted by Jim Nintzel with Steve Farley and Bruce Wheeler. Are those your guests?
That's correct, yes.
All right, Steve, that should be excellent. Jim, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
All right, be right back.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. There's always a party or event going on somewhere, thanks to Arizona Party Rental. We're ready to roll out the red carpet for you. Hey, U of A basketball fans, let's hear what radio analyst Ryan Hansen has to say.
Hi, I'm Ryan Hansen, Arizona basketball radio analyst and vice president with Bon Voyage Travel. Our mission at Bon Voyage is to take the stress out of your travel planning. Our travel advisors will handle all of the details so you can prepare for your trip without the hassles. During my career with Arizona Athletics and Bon Voyage Travel, I've always counted on Arizona Party Rental for my event planning needs. They've handled the details with ease and made it a stress-free experience. Their customer service and knowledge make the party a five-star outing. If you're looking for help planning your next trip, come to the professionals at Bon Voyage. If you're looking for help planning your next event, go to the professionals at Arizona Party Rental.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. Nice call. And a high five to your team at Bon Voyage Travel. Arizona Party Rental on Speedway or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:53. This portion of Buckmaster is brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Weekend Watch is hosted by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Silver City area offers the wonderful escape from the ordinary. Walk through the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, swim in the Gila River, relax in a hot spring, and visit historic Silver City, just 3 hours east of Tucson. It's a great getaway, great weekend getaway, and there are great places to stay, like Agave Ridge Retreat. You can find the full listing of places to stay and things to do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist, award-winning publicist, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year, Bill Buckmaster. In a couple of weeks.
Happy New Year to you as well. And also, I should mention, you are the son of a very famous individual, Mark Russell, the political satirist who will be in town performing at the Fox tonight.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun, Bill. You know, he has not performed here locally in, I want to say, close to 15 years. He tried his hand at retirement, and after about 2 years of getting used to his new career as an amusing dinner guest, he just was reading the paper still every day and said, there's too much not to say. So he came back on the stage, and he's very, very busy. It's going to be an honor to host him here in Tucson at the Fox tonight.
He is an 82-year-old man, I believe, and he has had a fantastic career. And he is, like you say, it was very difficult for him probably to use that word, even retire. And from what I'm hearing, he puts on an outstanding show, and he'll have some fun things, I'm sure, to say now about a Republican-controlled Congress.
Indeed. And no matter what side of the political spectrum you represent, you know, everyone will have something to laugh at, whether it's themselves or folks on the other side of the aisle. It's going to be great fun tonight.
What time does that show start tonight at the Fox?
Yeah, you bet. Fox Theater tonight at 7:30, and it's just bound to be a great show.
All right, let's check out what's going on. And before the Fox, I guess you could go over and enjoy a happy hour.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be pre-gaming myself there before the concert. One of my favorite downtown happy hours, Augustine Kitchen at the Mercado San Augustine. Bill, they've got a great cocktail that caught my eye called the Hickory Old Fashioned with hickory smoked Tennessee whiskey. And get this, chocolate mole bitters. How could you possibly go wrong with that? I think I'm going to pair that one up with some of their crispy fried oysters with a cornmeal crust and get my weekend started in style.
Well, you'll be all fired up, I'll tell you, for your father's program tonight.
Indeed.
For the show. We have another restaurant opening in town this weekend.
Yeah, another great Metzger family restaurant has hit the local dining scene with the recent opening of Jackson Tavern on Swan and Fort Lowell. Now, this is classic New England pub fare with modern expressions. So if you're a fan of lobster rolls, clam cakes, fresh oysters, clam chowder, or as they say, chowder, this is the place for you this weekend. Now, they also have a great lounge in the back with a roaring fireplace, which I think is the perfect place to relax and enjoy a mug of ale or a great cocktail. Hear ye, Bill. Jackson Tavern gets my nod for a taste of New England this weekend.
And again, that location, Fort Lowell and Swan?
Fort Lowell and Swan.
Okay, Inside Tucson Business, the column this week.
Yeah, this one a lot of fun. The classic speakeasies from the 1920s were businesses, as we all know, that were bound on breaking the rules. But my favorite local speakeasy, ironically, has some fun rules of their own to which guests absolutely must adhere. It's called The Still, and it's secretly tucked behind a wall at Zero Amore Pizza over there on Plaza Palomino. Now, you're going to have to read my column, Bill, about it in today's Inside Tucson Business to learn all these rules, because they don't take walk-ins. There are some specific instructions for entry, and if you don't follow them, you simply can't get in. So check out the column and enjoy some libations this weekend at The Still.
Yeah, and of course, a big shout-out to one of our charter sponsors here, Vero Amore. We love the Vero Amore pizza and the whole operation. They do such a great job, don't they? And then The Still has added a real nice component to the whole program over there.
Yeah, and they do. And then, of course, Noble Hops on the northwest side of town, sort of defining that gastropub experience. I just love what the Mussman brothers do for all of the foodies in southern Arizona. And you talked about that pizza, Bill, at Vero Amore. It's that authentic Neapolitan-style pizza, the only local authentically certified Neapolitan pizza by the Italian government. This is all real. This is all true. The pizza is spectacular at Vero Amore. And, in fact, I'm probably going to have that in my own rotation again this weekend.
All right. Matt, thank you so much. And we'll look forward to the program and the show tonight with your father. Growing up with having a celebrity like Mark Russell as your dad, is that kind of what drove you into the direction of being in the people business?
Yeah, you know, indeed, when I was a kid, all my friends were sort of graduating from Sesame Street to Mr. Rogers, and I was already hooked on McNeil Lehrer. I think my first lunchbox was a PBS tote bag, and I think I was the only kid at school with a poster of Judy Woodruff in his locker. So, yeah, I kind of had a unique childhood, but there's no question that growing up as Mark Russell's son certainly inspired the career that I ended up pursuing, and it's just a gift. He's a very special man. We love him dearly, and we're going to be laughing robustly tonight at the Fox Theater.
Okay, give him my regards, please. Thank you very much.
I will do.
All right.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Great weekend to you.
Bye-bye.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team here at KVOI, Ed Alexander, who engineers, produces the show 4 days a week, Tom Fairbanks, our Friday guy on the other side of the glass. We certainly appreciate all that Tom does, and of course, Ray Allen, the whole team here. Doug Martin, Mary Martin at KVOI, I want to wish them all a very happy new year. Rosemary Brandt, our longtime producer, who is now my executive assistant and does a great job. So on behalf of the entire team, want to wish everybody a wonderful and safe weekend. Also, Phil Cedar, his show tomorrow, 7 a.m. here on KVOI. And Phil asked me to mention Green Things doing a rose pruning seminar workshop tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Green Things. Also, a shout out to Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. They do such a great job. PerfectionAutoWorks.com, convenient Midtown location. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.